And I thought maybe this morning that before all the tryptophan from that Thanksgiving feast had gotten completely out of our bodies, I'd like to pose a question. And the question would be, what's so great about gratitude? We take a season every year and we think about gratitude. And we're going to talk about the importance of that today. Now, before we get there, I just want to remind you, do you remember at all when you were growing up and your parents would give you advice about life, or they would try to help you understand something from their perspective, and when you heard it, you kind of went, wow, I certainly don't see it that way. You might have even questioned a little bit their intelligence at that moment, and you questioned their intelligence, that is, until you gained a little bit more experience for yourself, and suddenly you found what they said made actually a lot more sense. And you know, actually, as a parent, you've arrived when you have kids of your own, and you hear yourself giving the same kind of advice to your own children as you have your parents give to you. Well, what we discover is that often our parents were smarter than we would actually give them credit for. They understood some things that we didn't yet understand. And I mention that this morning because I think I'm that way sometimes with my Heavenly Father. I read sometimes some of the things that he instructs us to do in his word, and I'm like, what? That's what you really think we ought to be doing? Now, don't get me wrong. I believe God's word, and I trust its truth and its wisdom, but there are some parts of it that I'll admit I have a hard time putting into practice because they don't necessarily make sense to me. Let me give you an example of some of those. One of them would be Matthew chapter 5. Verse 39, it says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not my natural reaction, unless, of course, the person's bigger than I am, then I might turn the other cheek, but I kind of want a little bit of revenge at that particular point. And it goes on from there. We could go to Luke chapter 6, verse 27, where it says, we're supposed to love our enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And, I read that and I think, wow, what good is that going to do? How's that going to help? There's no way they even deserve that. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, it gets even more challenging. Have you ever sat down sometime and think, you know, the book of James, that's a good book to read. I'm going to read that book. And you don't get any farther than chapter 1, verse 2, and you discover this crazy talk going on. Because in James 1, 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How are you doing on that joy thing when you go through trials? I mean, I don't know that I've even necessarily made it to joy yet. And it's actually, I'm supposed to have pure joy when I experience those trials. Well, since we're following up on the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you and admit that one of the teachings in the Bible that is still a challenge for me to be able to fully implement is a verse that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And again, it goes along with this season. And notice it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, why on earth would God instruct us to express gratitude in whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in? Now, when I read that verse, I do appreciate the fact that I'm not required to give thanks for all circumstances. Notice that. But I am required to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, what's so great about gratitude? Well, you know, it's interesting. God talks about it a lot. But, you know, a lot of secular sources have also jumped on the gratitude bandwagon and frequently will tout the benefits of gratitude. And there are a plethora, I just like being able to say that word, there are a plethora of books that have been written on the topic of gratitude. In fact, if you want to check it out, go to Amazon.com and put in thankfulness or gratitude or gratefulness or something like that, and you could come across some 2,600 books on just that topic. And what that tells me is apparently being grateful is not something that we just do naturally, which is, requires some 2,600 books, the least of which is not the Bible, to encourage us to be grateful. Apparently gratitude could be a lot like exercising. It's something that you know could be good for you, but you don't always feel like it. And so often gratitude's benefits and positive effects have to be proven. God created us, and so it should probably be no surprise that he understands how good gratitude is for us. And that's why it is His will for us. So let's talk this morning, if we can, about why gratitude is so great, what it is that's so great about gratitude. Because while I think it's important on a Thanksgiving weekend to count your blessings, being grateful actually throughout the year could maybe have a tremendous benefit on the quality of our life. Here's what we know about what's so great about gratitude. First of all, gratitude enhances your life experience. Gratitude is going to make your life experience better. And we know this because the benefits of gratitude are widely recognized. Not only does the Bible talks about it, but it's talked about in a number of different sources. And gratitude just might be one of the most overlooked tools that all of us have access to every single day. And if you think about it, cultivating gratitude doesn't cost any extra money. It certainly doesn't require a lot of time. And the benefits of it are enormous. Research has actually revealed that having an attitude of gratitude can provide some of the following benefits in your life. First of all, they've discovered that gratitude actually improves your physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains in life, and they report feeling healthier than other people. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more often. They're a lot more likely to have regular checkups with their doctors, which really could contribute to their greater longevity. So it can improve your physical health. Secondly, gratitude improves your psychological health. Gratitude can be able to reduce a multitude of toxic emotions in our life, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. There was a leading gratitude researcher. Would that be a great job? That'd be a job you could be thankful for, right? A gratitude researcher that conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. And research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression in a person's life. I mean, think about it. Envy, jealousy, and greed, which gratitude counteracts, is never going to improve the quality of your life. How many people have you come across who said, you know, since I've become really envious, my life's gotten a whole lot better? I mean, it's improved a bunch. When I became really jealous, that's when life got good. That's not what happens. And those type of emotions tended to decrease the quality of our life. A third benefit of life experience with gratitude is that grateful people sleep better. They discovered that keeping a gratitude journal can improve your sleep. According to one study, if you'll spend just 15 minutes before bed jotting down a few things that you are grateful for, you may sleep better and sleep longer. That's amazing. And then finally, gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown that gratitude not only reduces strength, but it may also play a major role in helping people overcome trauma in their lives. One study found that Vietnam War veterans with the higher levels of gratitude experienced really lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Another study found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the September 11th terrorist attacks. See, recognizing that all you have and being thankful for it, even during some of the worst times of your life, actually fosters resilience within you. And so what's so great about gratitude? Well, gratitude enhances your life experience. Something else that's great about gratitude is that it prohibits pity parties. Gratitude prohibits pity parties. It's hard to do both at the same time. Now, you know, the problem with pity parties is that you can invite all the people that you want to your party, but often it's kind of hard to find any takers. Unless, of course, they want to take over your party with their own pity. And you're usually going to have to go it along. And what's interesting is I've noticed over the years that for some reason, we seem to like feeling sorry for ourselves. You ever notice that? You get feeling sorry for yourself, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah. And there's something that seems to be gratifying about pity or self-pity. But, you know, we know that pity parties never helped anyone overcome anything. In fact, they often make things a lot worse. It's hard to be grateful and have a pity party at the same time. And so I would just encourage you, the first thing you should do whenever you start to feel sorry for yourself is to try to elevate your level of gratitude. Another thing that's so great about gratitude is that gratitude diminishes discontent. It diminishes discontent. Someone once wisely said, gratitude is the key to a happy life that we hold in our own hands. Because if we're not grateful, no matter how much we have, we're not going to be happy. because we will always have to have something else or something more. You see, without gratitude in our lives, what we don't have can actually rob us of what we do have. Do you know that way back in the very beginning of time, gratitude might have actually prevented the fall of mankind? I mean, think about it. Adam and Eve were told that they could eat from every single tree in the garden, all of them except for one. Now, that's probably more than enough trees to be able to be thankful for or to eat from. But apparently, they weren't thankful enough for that because the devil was able to rob them of what they had by getting them to obsess on what they didn't have. And so, you know, the first thing you should do whenever all you can focus on is what you don't have, then just do a quick little inventory of actually what you do have. And here's actually a little exercise you can do to kind of walk yourself through this thought. Think about something that's very important to you. I mean, it's significant to you. You value it. And then imagine that you just lost it. Now, let me give you some examples. How about your job? Maybe you go to work tomorrow and they hand you the pink slip and you discover you're losing your job. Now you're going to be unemployed. How does that feel? Or maybe you take a trip to the doctor and you hear something about your health. Not good news. You don't have very long to live. Or maybe even worse news than that, you hear about somebody that you love has just died. You're never going to see them again. Take something like that. You can use that or whatever is of value to you. And then just imagine that you've lost it. And let that feeling kind of sink in for just a moment. Wow. Now, turn that around and imagine that you just got that back. Wow, I didn't lose my job. I didn't like my job that much, but at least I have a job. I'm really not sick. I mean, there's actually nothing wrong with me. I'm going to live. My loved one didn't die. It was all a mistake. They're still alive. And notice what happens in you. All of a sudden, you're so thankful for what you already have. And one of the commitments I've just tried to make to myself is I'm not going to let what I don't have rob me of what I already have. That's what's so great about gratitude. Another thing that's great about gratitude is that gratitude negates the negative in our lives. It is so easy, if we're not careful, just to really let our thoughts become negative, especially when bad things happen to us. Our thoughts can just go south. A famous Bible scholar, Matthew Henry, was once robbed by some guys of his money. Now, that's a pretty negative experience. But a little while later, he was reflecting, and he wrote these words in his journal. He said, first, let me be thankful because I've never been robbed before. Second, let me be thankful that although they took my money, they didn't take my life. Third, let me be thankful that even though they took all I had, it really wasn't very much. Fourth, let me be thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed others. I mean, looking at it in a completely different way negates the negative. And when you're looking around for things to be grateful for, it's really hard to focus on all the negative stuff. When Rachel Keefe worked as a clinical chaplain in a state psychiatric hospital, she frequently led groups in gratitude. And she would begin by asking people what they were grateful for. Now, predictably, they weren't very thankful for anything. I mean, after all, they were patients in a psychiatric hospital when none of them wanted to be. They'd each had an experience with a mental health crisis so acute that they'd been admitted to a psychiatric hospital against their will. And so what's there to be grateful for? So they'd start off pretty slowly. And so she'd say, well, hey, did anybody have breakfast this morning? Yeah. Well, can you be thankful for the food even though it wasn't what you would have really liked? Yeah. Anyone have coffee this morning? Yes. Well, can you be thankful for that even though there wasn't any caffeine in it? Yes. And then some would be thankful for a safe place to sleep. And then some would be thankful for clean clothing. And then someone would be thankful for a family member who, or a friend who was feeding their cat. And the list would just kind of grow from there. Well, after a few minutes, they'd have a list with dozens of things that they were grateful for. And sometimes someone would be well enough that they'd be able to be thankful for the care and the treatment that they were receiving, or for the possibility of doing better with new medication. Well, then from the list that they created, they'd talk about how they were feeling. since they found things to be grateful for. Mostly, they felt a little better, a little more hopeful. Maybe things weren't so bad. Maybe things could actually get better. Some would invariably state that being grateful actually helped them feel better. And so they talk about how to make gratitude part of every day. It turns out that when you're looking for things to be thankful for, it's a little hard to focus on all the negative stuff. Another reason why gratitude is so great is because gratitude optimizes your outlook on life. When you choose to be grateful, it's going to optimize your outlook on life. Gratitude can change how you see the world. A teacher asked her class to make a list of things that they were thankful for one day, and one of the boys wrote down that he was thankful for his glasses. And that kind of surprised the teacher, because a lot of people wearing glasses kind of resent that, and so she was kind of curious about his response, and so she called him to her desk and said, "Johnny, you put glasses on the top of your list of things that you're thankful for. Is there any special reason?" To which Johnny answered, "Well, yes, ma'am, actually there is. My glasses keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." So he was really thankful for those glasses. And so you think about it, he's grateful. A grateful heart will always see the cup as half full. Now we need to take a little bit of a turn here, because what I want to mention is that for gratitude to have its maximum impact in our lives, it's important that we are thankful to and not just thankful for what we have. It's important that we are thankful to and not just thankful for. Let me see if I can illustrate this. There's a very interesting situation that occurred one day in Jesus' ministry when he was approached by 10 men who had leprosy. And they called out from a distance asking for his help. Now, if you want to read about this later today, you'll find the story in Luke chapter 17. Well, this is one of those stories that I think can get a little bit lost in translation for us today, because we really don't have a clue what it was like to have leprosy back then. Today, we're fortunate we have doctors. There are some treatments for Hansen's disease or leprosy. And even as bad as it is today, in biblical times, it was a terrible disease to experience. Not only because there was the pain associated from the disease itself, but there was also the social stigma that went along with having the disease. You see, the Old Testament law pronounced that a leper was unclean, which meant they were not allowed to participate in anything that had to do with the general population. That meant they couldn't live with their families. They were required to live outside the city. They also had to cover their faces and cry out unclean when anyone came close to them. To be a leper in that day meant that any friendships or any closeness to others was going to be limited to those who already also shared the disease, which meant you were going to be isolated and an outcast. And so think just for a moment what that must have been like. To hardly ever be touched, to have other people run away from you at the sight of you. No hugs, no kisses, no handshakes, not even a pat on the back. And see, that's why when Jesus encountered this band of lepers, he did the way it was. They knew the laws, the traditions. They knew exactly how far away they were required to stand from the public, at least 100 paces from anyone else. And that's why it says they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, Jesus' response was really kind of interesting. He says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now, we know the reason he said that was Mosaic law required that a person be declared clean by the priest before they could re-enter social life. Well, could it really be that simple? They just got to go show themselves to the priest? Well, they followed his instructions, and amazingly, as they were going, they were miraculously healed and cleansed and restored. Imagine what that must have been like. All of a sudden, their nightmare was over. A completely new life had been granted to them. They had probably had to be the most thankful people around, but that's when the story kind of takes a surprising turn. Because of the 10 lepers that were all healed, only one bothered to return to express his gratitude. I mean, only one. 9 of the other 10 found an excuse not to demonstrate an attitude of gratitude. Now, that's really what to me is so amazing about this story. How could those other nine lepers not have been thankful for what they had just received? A life of misery and isolation and separation had all of a sudden been replaced by a life that was normal again. How could they not have been grateful? Now, we may never know, but here are some of the possibilities why those other nine maybe didn't come back to say thanks to Jesus. Maybe the first one was just waiting to see if the cure was real. Maybe the second one was waiting to see if it was going to last a long time. Maybe the third one thought he would go see Jesus at another time or later. Maybe the fourth one decided that he better go see the priest before Jesus changed his mind. Maybe the fifth one figured he might have gotten well anyway. Maybe the sixth one gave the credit to the priest. Maybe the seventh one said, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. He just said, go. Maybe the eighth one said, well, any rabbi probably could have done that. Maybe the ninth one said, you know, I think I was maybe getting better anyway. Now, before you and I shake our heads in disbelief at these guys' apparent lack of gratitude, I'd be willing to admit that all too often I find myself thankful for what God has provided, but not as thankful as I need to be to God for providing it. Sometimes I'm thankful for, but I don't know if I'm thankful enough to. See, I can be like the boy who was asked by his mother upon returning from a birthday party. She said, did you thank the lady for the party? And he said, well, Mom, I was going to, but the girl in front of me said thank you, and the lady said not to mention it. So I didn't. I just didn't mention it. I can be like that. So I want to share with you today some actual scriptural encouragement to not only be thankful for what God provides, but to be thankful to Him for providing it. The first verse is James chapter 1, verse 17. It just reminds us, you know, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. How many good things do you have in your life that you need to be thankful not only for, but thankful to? That's why I think the psalmist says in Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, if we were naturally grateful, I don't think we would need to be so reminded of this quite as often or instructed so specifically to be grateful. But apparently we aren't naturally grateful. As I mentioned earlier, getting proficient or good at gratitude must be something like that whole thing of exercise. You might know that exercise can make you healthier physically, but it requires effort, it requires intentionality, and so you just don't do it. I think gratitude is like that as well. It requires intentional effort, and so sometimes we just don't do it. And let me see if I can kind of bring it all together, because I think every one of us here today face what I call the human challenge when it comes to this whole thing of gratitude. And that human challenge would be this: when you need to be grateful the most is also when it's going to be the most difficult to be grateful. When you need to be grateful the most is also when it's the most difficult. You know, gratitude is beneficial when life is good, but it is the most helpful when life is at its worst. But those are often the hardest moments to be grateful. Isn't that right? You're going through a challenging time. Hard to be grateful for that. You know, I find it interesting how God has been preparing me for this message today. Most of you know me as Mr. Never Better Man. If you ask me how I am, I like to say I've never been better, reminding myself that we're closer to heaven today than we've ever been before, trying to be grateful for that. But I'll just share with you, for the past 3 weeks, I have to admit that that's been a tough response to muster, a lot more than normal, because I've been experiencing some intense pain in my right leg. And it's been bad enough that it's kept me up at night. It sent me to the emergency room at one point. It's kept me wishing for a more effective dose of painkiller. And sometimes, in the middle of that, all I've been able to focus on is how much my leg hurts, the intense pain, which makes it even more difficult to consider along the lines of gratitude. But let me just say, when I've chosen that route, it's made a difference. Now, let me just warn you, it has not taken the pain away. It didn't remove that. But you know what it helped me do? It helped me to endure. It helped me to get a better perspective. It made it more bearable. And some of you, it may not be a physical pain. It might be an emotional pain or a psychological pain that you're going through, and you're wondering what could help. And let me just say, gratitude is God's gift to us. And so I have just a takeaway for you today, and we'll wrap things up. And my takeaway for you today would be this. Whenever you begin to detect negative emotions taking over in your life, initiate what I call the gratitude affirmation sequence, where you immediately just pause and identify 5 to 10 things for which you are thankful. Maybe pull out a piece of paper in the midst of that struggle and just say, you know what? I'm not feeling very good, but boy, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. And then just repeat as necessary, because it might take a couple times to really take hold. But the reason God says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, is because he knows how good it is for us and how much it will connect us with him. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for the gift of gratitude. But you already know the challenge that we have sometimes getting there. Being able to look outside ourselves and focus on what's been provided for us. But I just pray that you'd help us today to understand that the gift that gratitude can give to us if we'll respond to you with gratitude in our hearts. Father, you're good. You're good to us. You bless us in so many ways. We still have challenges. We still have difficulties we go through. But you continue to work through those challenges. You provide answers and solutions. You give to us so many good things, but we just have to be able to trust you. So I pray for those that are maybe sitting out here today, and life's gotten a little bit hard. It's gotten a little bit heavy. And it's a struggle to be able to maybe keep focus and keep going. I would pray for gratitude to be able to be a relief and a release for them and for every one of us. I thank you today, God, for what gratitude can do in our lives. And you'd move us to be able to live there in greater and greater ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.